Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Guillermo Mash welcoming you to the Memorial Day edition of Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Just talking with Steve Scarborough about, you know, serving our country. I was Navy, 78, 82, submarines, and I'd like to say it would have worked out better, obviously, but my granddad, never met him, died in World War II. And I want to extend my deepest gratitude for everyone that served and for all that gave everything. And show today, man, is a follow-on from last Wednesday. We have a director's cut of Carlos Rene Ayala's Cart City that was filmed over a couple-year period down on Stockton Boulevard in South Sacramento. And what we're going to do today is a director's cut. There's 17 little segments of a 17-minute short film. I guess you could say it's about a minute a segment. And Carlos spent some time giving you some insights on what he saw, what he heard, what he felt, and the backstories on some of these folks that were in the film. And with no further ado, here we go on Peep Power Radio. Wow, Carlos, you know, it was really beautiful. That's the first time I watched the film all the way through, and there was many moments there. It was very touching. One thing that I really thought was an interesting creative decision I want to talk about a little bit, especially for our listening audiences, and this is, you took a very powerful choice in how you captured these stories, in that you just showed their stuff and you heard their voices. And what I found to be very, very compelling was that's how people view homeless people. They look at their stuff. They don't look at the person. And I think you really cemented that with focusing on their belongings and the words that they had to say. You know, what would you add or subtract to that?
I like to do everything with intention. And the intention with just showing the cart was a dual intention. It is what you said, and it is also the fact that one of my ethics was that I didn't want one of our brothers and sisters on the street to maybe not be on the street anymore, and then look back at this documentary and feel that they wish they hadn't participated. I didn't want their faces to be in it in case they didn't want to be in it. I didn't want in the future, you know, and I didn't want their faces to be in it in case they felt some way about law enforcement. Because as you hear in the documentary, there are feelings about law enforcement and how they transgress their lives. They assault the homeless. So I don't show the homeless because of that. And I also try my hardest to not show explicit geographic locations because I don't want an encampment to get ransacked. So, yeah, that's what I would add to that.
Yeah, but that creative choice really made the film, I think it made it more powerful. I mean, because especially for someone that's covering this beat for 6+ years, I just kept going, this is all people see anyway. They never hear the voice, so you're hearing the voice of the person. But as soon as they see someone with a cart, they focus on the cart and why that cart is there, not why the person's there, which is just abysmal as far as I can see. All right, listeners, you're in for a treat. We're going to play the individual segments of this film. 1 through 17. I think it's going to take a couple of shows. And then we'll have Carlos commenting on the individual segments here on Peep Power Radio.
I just shot with a cart. I come here in my car and do the grocery shopping and stuff, and I take it to my car, put it in the trunk, and that's it. Just imagine if you didn't have a cart. You know, you would always going back and forth to the store and stuff, you know? Or you just, you know, have to pull to the side and, you know, dump everything in or have a friend come and do stuff for you. So, yeah, cars are necessary. Sometimes when I see cars go down the street, you kind of see, and they're, oh, they're hustling, they're working. Because if, I'm going to say this to you, people don't believe this. It's a job to hustle all day long. It's a job to be a drug dealer. It's a job to be homeless. That's a job.
Something that I thought was kind of interesting about Carts also, and that I thought would cement a relationship with the viewer to the homeless, was that, well, we, the ones that we are fortunate enough to have homes or apartments or whatever, like, we go shopping and we use Carts. So I went and conducted some interviews with people who were, you know, at Raley's or Safeway or whatever shopping, and their carts were full. Their carts were full. That's all I really need to say, with, like, food, with drinks, with sustenance. Their carts are full. So I would ask the people, like the lady in, that you hear in the film, you know, just basic, what do you use a cart for? Oh, you know, to go back and forth between my car and, like, getting food for the week or whatever. It feels like such a luxurious thing in this context. And what I'm trying to kind of push is that, like, isn't that obscene? That moment feels obscene to me, because the other people do not have those things. They do not have sustenance. They don't have a car to go to, and you don't need a car, but they don't have a place to go to. And these carts are constantly getting taken away. So I want the viewer, in the first clip, I want them to understand my intention. In the second clip, I want them to join me in the analysis of the cart, right? So that's what that second clip is for. It creates a common relationship. We all have a relationship with carts, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And the lady says, the lady, I think, very wisely says that, you know, if you're on the streets, it's a job. It's a job to be on the streets. It's a job to be homeless. And many, many of the folks who were kind enough to be interviewed reiterate that. So,
yeah, I mean, that's been a common thing that I've heard as well, Carlos.
Yeah.
The breakers, you know, it's a full-time job.
Yep, absolutely, 24/7, 365. Yeah. I'll move on to the third clip.
Hartley, stop it.
You behave, boy, huh?
What's that?
Knock it off. Bye, you boy.
I have the shopping cart because I need it. You know, I really do need it. If I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do. You know, because I couldn't carry all my stuff around. I find them, you know, on the sidewalk or in a field, or, you know, that's the ones that I take, you know, and I pick up bottles and cans. Just from here to my storage, I pick up bottles and cans and get like $5 every couple days, you know. But like I said, that's not going into the garbage cans or nothing like that, because everything's a no-no for homeless people. Not for other people, only homeless people. Seriously, only the homeless.
This one here is for blocking passage of a sidewalk, and, or it says obstructing free passage, and the grocery carts.
So basically with the third clip, I wanted to just establish the initial use of carts by the unhoused, a basic understanding of homelessness, just a very, very, very basic one, you know, just like, okay, I don't know if I should say the names of the folks that, in each clip, so I'll refrain from doing that just to protect them.
Sure.
It's a basic understanding of the carts. Just the lady you hear in the third clip is also the lady you hear in the final clip, and that was all intentional. So that clip is just basic understanding. Okay, the fourth clip is like a ticket. You know, you get to see a ticket, because the homeless get ticketed. There's a shopping cart ordinance, and the fine is $100 if you are, you know, seen with a cart that you shouldn't have. And it's like, well, like, what do you expect them to do? What do you expect the people on the street to do? Like, each person in this documentary has gotten tickets for having shopping carts. Each person in this documentary is homeless. Each person in this documentary has needs that they can barely fulfill daily. And who cares if it's addiction? Addiction is a need, too. It's an illness. Not to mention food, just a McDonald's burger or something. They need all the money that they have. You and I right now need all the money that we have. So imagine, it's a nightmare. So I wanted to show that ticket. I wanted to show the clip of the sign that says the shopping cart ordinance thing that you've seen, because it's a bit ridiculous. It's just supposed to be ridiculous. It's supposed to be absurd. It's supposed to show, you know, they do really get ticketed.
So, you know, all this stuff matters to us that we have out here. Everything out here that we carry, it means something to us, or are we really need it, or we wouldn't carry it. You know what I mean? So, you know, our stuff that we keep our food in, our sanitation, you know what I mean? We're trying to keep that right, trying to getting and having showers, you know what I mean? We got to get in buckets and use water from here and that hose. And when you're trying to get water, they want to charge you for that. And I'm like, wow, this just, it's a no-win situation out here with us. So all we could do is fight for, you know what I mean, what's right and what's been preserved for the land, been preserved for us for years. We ain't never had to pay for nothing on the land. The Indians put a tent anywhere. And I guess that's where it started. You know what I mean? They want to take it from them. We might as well be Indians because they want to take our teepees. You feel me? And that's all we get.
The fifth clip was to kind of highlight what the gentleman says. He says, you know, we need these cars for food. We have our food in there. We have our sanitation. Well, you know, we're trying to take showers. You know, we want to basically showing that they're trying to reenter mainstream society, but like they're getting charged for water, you know? Then he mentions he has a little thing that he says about teepees, how like since the very beginning they've been trying to just take teepees. They being, I don't know, whoever you want they to be. So this to me highlighted a Sacramento issue, which is, you know, the right to rest. So that I throw that clip in there for that, to highlight how like basic things, like you can't even get water, you know? Like it's a travesty.
It's our way to get around, to move our belongings, to sometimes, like, I have three dogs. Sometimes it keeps them safe. Meaning, on hot days like this, I give them rides in the cart where they don't have to walk. Because being on your feet 24/7 takes a toll on a body. You get tired, you get weak, you get sick a lot. And then, being low income, we don't always have enough food. So, basic needs for the homeless, they need food, they need shelter. I think if the city was to implement in every neighborhood a safe tenting zone or area, and even employ maybe some of the more focused homeless to look over the grounds, to keep an eye on them, you know, that would help prevent the homeless being shuffled from this neighborhood to that neighborhood. Like they're doing, it's called a homeless shuffle. And that's all they're doing. They're not doing nothing else but that and wasting the tax dollars they so preciously don't want to waste.
So the sixth clip, the one with that you see the dogs in the cart, that clip is in there because I wanted to highlight companionship on the street. Something that I kind of actually regret cutting from the documentary was something that was reiterated often. I don't know why I cut this. So this is my bad, but like that was often mentioned about how there isn't much camaraderie on the streets. There isn't much looking out for one another. Oftentimes people will steal from one another. So with the sixth clip, what I wanted to highlight was companionship. The lady talking about her dogs and the importance of the cart and her dogs. She uses the cart to push her dogs along because it's hot outside. Sacramento is a very hot city in the summertime. And it's not like the people on the street get the luxury to, oh, Sacramento summers are so hot, everybody come inside. It's not like that. So, like, that clip is supposed to highlight companionship, but also the people on the streets offering up a solution. She offers up a safe tenting zone for the homeless, where the homeless monitor it. Sounds like a great idea. It's not even asking for, like, housing, which is, like, kind of mind-boggling to me, you know? That's like kind of something I learned is how naive I am through this process was like, why aren't you just asking for housing?
Right.
Like, it's like asking for so little. It's like incredible. And that seems so doable. Why not take a huge plot of land and do that? We don't need another 30 coffee shops. We don't need another 50 bars. We don't need anything in this city, to be honest.
They don't call 50 coffee shops fragmented services, do they, Carlos?
No. So it's like
they don't.
So we need to listen to this sixth clip. We need this tenting zone at the very least. Let's not, you know, be ghouls. We need this. We need to support this. We need to listen to this. We need to take it seriously. So what if she doesn't have a house or a job? This is a great idea. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So and then she goes on to talk about the homeless shuffle and how the homeless are always being displaced. They're displaced and disenfranchised to begin with, and then imagine that there are actually more levels of displacement and disenfranchisement. That's incredible. So, like, and then she mentions our tax money. It's like, where is our money going? Why am I paying any taxes? Like again, I reiterate that humans can evolve in so many different ways, and we've created so much stuff that is incredible, but we can't, like, why can't we fix this? where is our money going? I don't want to pay more taxes to, like, I need to know. My money needs to go to helping this. My money needs to go to fixing this worldwide problem. This is a worldwide problem, and I just focused on Sacramento. This is a global issue. It's insane. We need to do something. Are we, like, we don't deserve to have the label human and attach all these different signifiers to what it means to be human if we can't take care of one another. So that's what I get from that sixth clip, and that's what I hope people get from that sixth clip.
Every morning, you know, we got to duck and dodge because they'll come. They got a private police force, this paladin or whatever, that comes around in the police and writes tickets and kicks us out. And there's nowhere out here that's legal. You know, you got to have those carts, tarps, everything to move. It's hard work out here, let me tell you. People go, get a job. Man, I wish I had a job so I wouldn't have to wake up so early and bust my ass out here. And like I said, I understand their viewpoint, but they don't understand the reality.
The seventh clip talks about parking lot security and police. There are various, like, small-time security forces, I guess I'll call them forces, I don't really know what to call them, that, you know, drive around in parking lots. They're called Paladin, there's probably more than just Paladin, but what I learned of was just Paladin. So, yeah, like, Paladin is a security force that goes around various parking lots and, you know, all over Sacramento, making sure that there are no, basically, homeless around, making it so shoppers are uncomfortable, you know? So that's what Paladin does, and that's what that clip is illuminating, and illuminating also, like, the police. The police, they're not looking very good right now. Not only with Stephon Clark, not only with Joseph Mann, the police here are royally screwing up. They are not protecting and serving us. They do not protect and serve our communities. They assault, they hurt them, disparage them. They make their lives harder. They take their lives. Like, this is no joke. This is something you hear from activists, from families who have lost people, and from the homeless. So in that clip, we hear about the police, we hear about the security forces, and we also hear about how it's hard work when living is illegal. Like, it's about, you know, he mentions how he understands their viewpoint, but they don't understand their reality. And what that means to me is that there needs to be a recognition of the difference between ideology and what you want out of your politics or whatever, and the reality of pushing a cart day in, day out, suffering in the sun, freezing in the cold, gathering materials, getting all sorts of cuts, and then they get infected, you know? Like, that's the reality. And there's so much more. Of course, I'm being very, very brief. And there's so much more to this reality. And if everybody felt this, I just feel so confident we would fix this, but what a horrible thing to feel, to live illegally, day in, day out, trying to keep a cart, trying to keep your belongings, trying to keep your sanity, trying to get a fix, trying to exist. It's so that seventh clip is there for that.
Bad things have happened to me. You know, I've been, you know, beat up. I have been raped. I have had all this stuff, starting all over again. Somebody just will take the whole everything, and then the police will come by, and then they're like, didn't we tell you guys to move? And they take our stuff, flip it upside down. All the stuff is either broke or you have to replace it again. And I'm not saying that's all officers, but it's like, please. I mean, you know, you are an officer of the law, though. Technically and realistically, they work for us. We need them. They're supposed to watch out for us and make sure that we're okay. If anything, why are they not stopping the crime that's happening to the homeless from pushing us into areas where it's not safe? Because it's frustrating. It really is. And it's like new people come out here. They don't know what to do. They don't even know how to set up a tent. You know, and then they get their stuff together, then they have to move again, then they have to move again, have to move again. I'm trying to survive right now. I'm trying to go through a divorce. I'm trying to go to school. I'm trying to do all this. And there are regular people out here, and they're 2 seconds away When they lose their job, they're 2 seconds away to being right where I'm at right now. And I want to see what they're going to do and how they're going to act, sticking their noses up at us and stuff like that when it happens to them. Because if we were to take their paycheck away, lo and behold, their company go down and they have to live like we do, they'll probably kill themselves. I hate to say it like that, but it's the damn truth.
On the eighth clip, I wanted to highlight as much as I could. I mean, when I say highlight, I don't mean I was trying to manipulate anything. The questions were actually always the same throughout this documentary. Whenever I asked any of the people who were kind enough to participate, it was always the same set of questions. It was always like, what do you use your cart for? Very simple questions, because they wanted to talk. They wanted to express so many things to people about life on the streets. So when I say this clip is supposed to highlight this or that, it's not because I led it that way. It's because I used their words that way, because I thought these were all key points for people to understand. And with this eighth clip, a key point to me, again, is the relationship with the police. But it's also how, if you're a woman on the street, it's, and I don't want to speak for women, I don't want to speak for anybody. That's what this documentary is for, is so I can amplify their voices on the street. But the lady in this clip talks about being raped. And that's a reality of the streets. And in the same clip, she also talks about how there's new people on the streets day in, day out, and how people who are driving by, they're just living paycheck to paycheck. They may end up on the streets themselves. And all I can think of is in the same clip how she mentions rape, and how belongings are destroyed, and how the police push people out, and how there's new people every day. And it just circles back and forth and back and forth, and it becomes like an Ouroboros, you know, that snake that eats itself. It's like, that's what I'm hearing in this clip. It's just, it's despair. Crushing despair, and again, important to hear.
I'm fortunate enough to have a storage, so this the car is for me to make money doing recycling, really, and for me to sleep on too, because it's a bed too. But I haven't finished it up. But just to get stuff and move stuff around and stuff, that's basically it. But it means a lot to me. To move one from one place to another, you know, that anybody could be homeless, and anybody could be living out in the world because of circumstances, a disaster, you know, anything, and you just can't assume just because somebody out here they on shooting up on drugs and that's why they out here. There's a lot of circumstances that could get you out here no matter what, you know.
In the ninth clip, I wanted to kind of, you know, let people know that some more about the cart. So the gentleman in this clip, you know, he talks about how he uses it to make money by collecting cans and stuff, but he also makes it into a bed. So it's like a home and a workplace. And he talks about the importance of mobility, you know, and he talks about how he has a storage. So it's just, you know, little kernels of knowledge to people who may not be aware about where this cart is going. Maybe that cart that you see on the street is going to a storage unit. Maybe it's going to a recycling facility. And I think those things are things to think about.
On the outside looking in, they see it as junk. But it's not to us. Very valuable shit, man. I mean, stuff, forgive me. And it's just like, man, we just cannot live without it. Can't do without it. If you're out here, you're going to collect it.
Thank you.
And yes, in my basket, yeah, you'll find everything. And garbage. And everything. Some of everything. But it's just, that's every day. Every single day. That's what... That is, you know, that's how we make a living, most of us, going through other people's garbage, our treasures, amen, and sometimes they throw away, people are kind because they throw away a lot of good stuff, you know they know they could whatever, probably sell it, get money for it, or even give it to someone else who's not homeless, you know, it's just, but some people are, they're pretty much, they're kind, and they throw away really nice stuff. I just can't believe sometimes the things that they do throw away, you know, they're just wonderful clothing, jewelry, I mean, you name it, money, all kind. But hey, man, they can't be just all on by mistake. It's, you know, a lot of stuff. So people, there are people that care, but dog it, there's just not enough. And man, we're just hoping maybe one day that, you know, everything, it'll turn out, it'll work, it will, it has to. I'm not saying I'm not at the bottom of my wits end, but pretty close, but not quite, you know. And sir, I'll tell you this much: if you have any idea of what it is to be out, and whether it's rain or it's a sunny delight, bro, and to have to be in it, either or, have to, not just be there, just, if it gets too bad, you can go in somewhere, but you gotta be in it all fucking day. Oh man, it's something really different, bro. Every day.
In the 10th clip, the takeaway from this clip to me is, of course, he's talking about how you have to collect things every day, and some people, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure kind of thing, right? But what I really take away from it is the last things he says, which are, you know, like, imagine being outside, whether it's nice or the weather's crummy, but being outside every single day, no matter what, you have no choice. I'm not trying to make an unfair parallel with this. So, you know, I don't know, somebody correct me if I'm being a jerk, but, like, I felt like there was a parallel between solitary confinement, like almost a paradoxical parallel between solitary confinement and homeless, because to me it's all about deprivation, depriving somebody completely. While somebody in solitary confinement is in, like, a concrete room, somebody who is out on the street is simultaneously everywhere and nowhere, simultaneously seen and unseen, simultaneously heard and never heard, simultaneously accruing things and losing things. That's madness. That would be maddening to me. And the gentleman in this clip also alludes to that. He alludes to how he still has a sanity, but he's like, you know, kind of, he's just holding on to it. He's holding on to it, which means he's trying to hold on to it. So that clip really, really drives a point home to me about how, no, this isn't just the summer. This isn't like a vacation. Homelessness is not a vacation. It isn't just in the summertime. It isn't in the wintertime. It isn't in the fall. It isn't in spring. It's year round if that is your lot, you know?
All right. Thanks again, Carlos Rene Ayala. And if you want to see that film, just Google or go to YouTube and put in CART space city space Sacramento, and it'll come up within the first couple of returns on your search. Thanks for tuning in to Without a Roof Radio program today. And if you liked the show, I know you did, hit the tip jar. And next, to close this on out, is a segment, a vignette I did with Ann Anybody up in Humboldt County in 2015. I went up there. They'd asked me to come up for the first anniversary of the Humboldt Edge. I'd done some writing for them. And during the meeting that we had had, I was like, I've got to interview this lady, Ann Anybody. So I got her in the quietest room I could get, and I got lucky with the backdrop. It was one of the most compelling little segments I had in my Without a Roof Poor People's Film Festival. And bottom line is, after this was filmed, everyone was like, who is she? And I gave them the backstory, and no one ever saw her again, as if she was, and who is to say she wasn't, a street angel. And anyway, thank you for tuning in. And until Wednesday and beyond, if you have a roof, be grateful.
My name is Ann Anybody, Anywhere USA. Today is the first time I've ever been in Eureka. I'm staying in Arcata at the homeless shelter.
I have a stack about that big that you can't hardly read because the paper is disintegrating. And I'll try to read the homeless one, and we may have to call it quits on that. Sundown makes me shake and shiver. I'm cold until the dawn. The sun will dry away the chill, and I can bask in the warmth of the day. I am the nation's homeless. The ones you don't seem to see. I sleep in the alleys and woods, hidden away from the harassment that comes from fear and misunderstanding. And I walk up and down, speaking aloud, to make you think I'm crazy so you won't bother me. Or I move in the shadows and dwell in my silence. There are many of us all around, and it can happen so suddenly, striking like a disease in the prime of your life, or moving in slowly with age, weakening your grasp on all you hold dear, until there's nothing to warm you. And all that's familiar is gone. Pray for me and for yourself that it doesn't happen to you. Treat me as though you might walk in my shoes.
God bless you, man.
God bless you.
I'll give you a hug.
Such a good one.
And that one I wrote in 1978.